Czechast, a podcast in English about Czech and Moravian society, history, culture and economy.
Hello and welcome to this special episode of Czechast. What you're about to hear is not just another interview. It's a real document of a moment in history that is unfolding right now. Because in this episode, I bring you an extended and exclusive interview with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, conducted by my colleague, editor-in-chief of Czech Radio Plus, Josef Pazderka. It offers a rare and very direct insight into how Ukraine's president sees the war his country is fighting, the choice Europe is facing, and, very specifically, the role of Czechia. And therefore, I think it definitely belongs to Czechast. And just a little explainer or two. You will hear Josef Pazderka and President Zelensky speak about two concrete and sensitive issues that resonate strongly in Czech society today. And just in case that you are listening somewhere far away and don't follow the Czech media day by day, I thought it was important to mention following. One of the issues mentioned is the debate about the Czechmate L-159 aircraft. These light combat jet planes are seen by Ukraine as one possible element of its air defense, particularly against large-scale drone attacks. The question of whether and how Czechia should provide them has sparked political debate here in Czechia, including tensions between President Petr Pavel and some members of the current government. President Zelensky's remarks help explain why Ukraine considers this issue important and how it fits into the broader picture of defending Ukrainian skies. Another sensitive topic comes later in the interview. The fact that hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians are currently living in Czechia, including many men of fighting age. Some Czechs ask why these men are not back home fighting Russia, while others point to trauma, family responsibilities and the complexity of life in wartime. These concerns shape Josef Pazderka's questions in the second half of the interview. So, what you are about to hear is not analysis from a distance. These are words spoken literally from inside history by one of its central actors at a time when the outcome is still uncertain.
Czechast, a podcast in English about all things Czech. Whether you're an English-speaking expat living in Czechia and Slovakia, or a descendant of the Czechs, Moravians and Slovaks who left for a better life in America, Australia, Britain or Canada so long ago that you don't speak the language of the old country, this podcast in English is for you.
Czech President Petr Pavel recently visited Kiev and you decorated him with one of the highest Ukrainian orders of Yaroslav Mundry. Was it a message not only for him, but also for the Czech people?
Безумовно, нагорода і Петр, я думаю, це прекрасно розуміє, що...
Without a doubt, this award, and Petr, I think, understands this very well, is first and foremost an award for the people of the Czech Republic. I am deeply grateful to the people, deeply grateful for all these months and years, the years of this war.
Сам початку прихистив наших людей. Дали домівку, дали те тепло, яке так потрібно.
At the very beginning, they took in our people, gave them shelter, gave them the warmth that was so desperately needed by Ukrainians during the full-scale invasion. If not from the very first day, then very soon after. And they supported us. And without a doubt, this award also belongs to Peter. Without question, he has done a great deal. I understand the system in the Czech Republic. I understand that the president doesn't hold all the powers, that many decisions are made by the cabinet. But politically, he has always stood firm. He supported us, he supported Ukraine, and in my view, he delivered very clear and correct messages.
Меседжі іноді роз'яснювання в Європі, не тільки в Чехії, в Європі, на майданчиках.
Not only in Czechia, but across Europe, on international platforms, about support for Ukraine. about who Ukraine is, who Russia is, what is happening, and how Ukraine is defending all of Europe. I am grateful to him for all of this.
Czech Republic received one of the highest numbers of Ukrainian refugees. You've mentioned it already, per capita. There are huge public collections for Ukraine. And quite recently, there was a collection for generators for Kiev and Kharkiv, and it accumulated, I think, over 230 million hryvnias within 1 week. Do you follow these?
Безумовно. Це наш запит всьому світу.
This was our appeal to the entire world. After the expected blackouts, we understood that blackouts were likely. And after the strikes carried out by Russia using missiles and drones that led to this situation, our message to the world was to help us. Any kind of assistance was needed. The Czech Republic helped us, and we are grateful for this energy support. This is not the first Czech initiative. You know that the Czech initiative to support the Ukraine army, the artillery initiative, is extremely important to bring together a large amount of artillery produced in different countries and to help Ukraine by managing and coordinating this effort was not easy. I've always supported the Czech initiative. I am grateful to the Czech Republic for this. Thank you.
There's a new government of Prime Minister Andrej Babiš since last year, since the elections. It's a coalition government, and some parties involved are quite critical of Ukraine. And they say more we support Ukraine militarily, less we can expect peace in the near future. What's your reply to them?
А я не вважаю, що треба це перевіряти. Скажу відверто.
Frankly, I don't think this needs to be tested. I'll say that openly. Today, Ukraine is being helped and Ukraine is holding back Russia. Even if someone in the world has a different opinion, and I believe it is risky to test this by not helping Ukraine, Ukraine might not withstand it, and then there is a risk that Russia will go further. And even if someone doesn't really believe that, I simply don't understand why one would want to test it, because the price is very high. If you are wrong, and anyone can be wrong, because there are no people who never make mistakes, except those who do nothing,
а якщо ти помиляєшся, це великий ризик для Європи, для будь-якої держави щодо агресії Росії, що вона продовжиться.
If you are wrong, then it is a huge risk for Europe, for any country, that Russian aggression will continue. And who would be able to withstand what Ukraine is withstanding today? That is why I believe that even if Prime Minister Babiš has his own opinion, in this particular context, whether to help Ukraine, it is, in my view, reasonable to choose to help Ukraine. Because Ukraine is Europe. And Ukraine is defending itself justly. Justly. We were attacked. And therefore, even from a moral point of view, it is right to support Ukraine. The question of the scale, how much, in what volume, what you are able to give, that is another question. But in my view, today it is right to support Ukraine, a country that shares European values, that is very friendly toward the Czech Republic, and that understands the Czech people very well. We even understand each other's languages, and I am convinced this will only bring us closer together. It is already clear that the world is helping Ukraine and has united around Ukraine, not around Russia. Even countries that do not help Ukraine acknowledge that Russia is the aggressor. The war will end, and people will remember who stood on which side. There will be reconstruction of Ukraine, and I am confident that businesses will come to Ukraine to take part in rebuilding it. And I believe the Czech Republic should also want to be part of this. This is business that comes to Ukraine and is involved in reconstruction. It is good for both sides. And of course, we very much count on such cooperation.
І я, наскільки я знаю, що прем'єр-міністр Бабіш, ми знаємо одне одного, напевно, не дуже добре, але...
As far as I know, Prime Minister Babiš and I know each other. Not very well, perhaps, but we have had opportunities to meet. I believe I met him back in 2019. That was a long time ago. And later, at the Coalition of the Willing, the Prime Minister was present. And I am grateful, by the way, that he represented the Czech Republic and that he attended. That, too, is a signal of support. Such steps toward one another, only strengthen relations between our countries. And taking this opportunity, I would like to invite him to Ukraine. It is important for us to communicate. We speak with the president, and I believe it is important to speak with the prime minister as well. Or perhaps our prime minister could come for a meeting. Thank you.
You've mentioned the Munich initiative during the recent Petr Pavel's visit to Kiev. There was a request from the Ukrainian side for the aircraft L-159 as part of the Ukrainian air defense. Is it still valid? Is it something that you urgently need?
Безумовно. Кожна така деталь, вона важлива в захисті.
Without a doubt, every such detail is important in defending the sky, because protecting the sky is an entire infrastructure. It includes mobile fire groups, electronic warfare systems, interceptor drones, aviation, of course, and various forms of air defense. When it comes to aviation, it is not only F-16s and other types, there are also light aircraft and similar platforms. We view the L-159 as one of the elements that can help Ukraine destroy Iranian Shahid drones. This is precisely about countering the large number of drones. First and foremost, for that purpose. It can be used for other tasks as well, but primarily for this. That is why we would like to receive these units that we have discussed and the aircraft as soon as possible. We will work on selecting the appropriate aircraft and other models. But if the Czech Republic can provide us with these planes, the next step, because I know the Czech manufacturer is interested, will be to conduct trials with the L-159. And with the newest models in this category, we would then be able to sign a contract. This would be very advantageous for the Czech manufacturer. We have held consultations, and I believe the Czech Republic would like to sell us these new aircraft.
You've mentioned the business side, the reconstruction of Ukraine. There are some Czech companies and people who might be quite interested into entering the Ukrainian energy sector. Especially Naftohaz, Ukrhas, Vudbidvanya, and so on. Do you welcome these steps? Do you make a room? Would that be something that would be, you know, welcomed on your side?
Ми відкриті дуже для цього. Ми проводили вже консультації.
We are very open to this. We have already held consultations with our Polish partners and with our Czech partners because we would like this to be more substantial, the signing of the relevant documents, the implementation of concrete projects, co-production and so on. We are open to all of this. Energy, as you can see today, is probably the number one issue in the security of any country. And for us, the development of the energy grid and the energy system is also part of our security guarantees. We are open to Czech business.
There are media reports that the recent peace talks, a peace plan that has been developed by US President Trump's team, is in a final stage. And there are also reports that you will be meeting President Putin to solve the last remaining bits, like land swap in Donbas, and possibly the fate of Zaporizhia nuclear plant. Can you confirm this?
Ми відкриті до зустрічі з будь-якому форматі з Росією і Сполученими Штатами Америки.
We are open to meetings in any format with Russia and the United States of America. We would also like Europe to be present at one stage or another of these negotiations, because part of our security guarantees is membership in the European Union, as well as the Coalition of the Willing. But first of all, we need to meet as three parties, or at the very least, we must have the possibility, in one format or another, to have direct contact with the Russian Federation, with Russia's leader. Without such a format, in my view, based on what I see, our teams will simply not be able to reach agreements on territorial issues.
Наші команди не зможуть домовитися щодо територіальних питань.
What stage are the peace talks now? Is it really the final stage? Is it something that is close to?
Остання миля, вона завжди дуже складна. І ми не знаємо, чи це, що ми дуже близькі до результату.
The last mile is always very difficult, and we do not know whether we are really very close to a result or not. It is hard to say. In my view, we are counting on security guarantees from the United States, and the document is ready. In my view, we are also counting on the European format of security guarantees. There, almost everything is ready as well. Yes, but these guarantees have still not been ratified by parliaments or by the US Congress or by the respective European states. And so the question is whether this is truly the last mile and only a small step remains, or whether we still have to work with many countries to gain confidence that we will have strong security guarantees.
Також важливий prosperity package, тобто пакет відновлювання України, він важливий для нас.
The prosperity package, the package for Ukraine's recovery, is also important. It is important for us first and foremost, but it is also important for the United States, for all of Europe, and of course for the Czech Republic as a country of the European Union, as we have discussed, and it is important for business. Any potential investor needs to hear that Ukraine will have security guarantees and that the war will not start again, that they can come, invest and take part in rebuilding the country. This is a normal desire, a completely sober and realistic view of the process. So the economic package still needs work. Today it is a 20-point plan to ending the war. And it is precisely there that the painful issues you mentioned appear, territorial issues. And these issues, I want to stress again, I do not believe can be resolved by anyone other than the leaders themselves.
Не вважаю, що хтось окрім лідерів зможе вирішити.
Is the land swap in Donbas a precondition for US security guarantees? Is there some
про таке в політичних колах? Деякі політики це піднімали. Я напряму від президента Трампа.
I have heard about this in political circles. Some politicians have raised it. I have not heard it directly from President Trump himself. And these are security guarantees from him and from the US Congress. So I understand that there is a price for security guarantees from the US. The question is what that price is.
Ну, питання цієї ціни.
You also mentioned Ukraine entering European Union in 2027. Is this part of this American peace plan?
В 20-пунктному плані ми говоримо про те, що для нас бажано 27-й.
In the 20-point plan, we say that for us the year 2027 would be desirable. We note that we need a clear date, a clear time frame. Without a doubt, this is an important guarantee that would be included in the contract of a 20-point plan. I am not saying that it would have to be exactly the 1st of January 2027. Today, that is a working date within the plan. We want to have 2027 there, and we say that technically we will be ready. But what our partners will agree to, I cannot speak for them today. That is why the 20-point plan is important and why it should be signed not only by the United States, Ukraine and Russia. The voice of the Europeans is very important here because the 20-point plan envisages our membership in the European Union.
20 пунктів передбачає наше членство в ЄС.
You recently named a new Minister of Defense, Mikhailo Fedorov, and when he spoke in the parliament, he mentioned quite staggering numbers, like 2 million Ukrainians avoiding draft, nearly like two more armies, 200,000 Ukrainian soldiers fleeing the front and gone missing. Is it something that makes you worried? Is it a big problem for Ukraine?
Війна йде в Україні не тиждень. Є люди, які воюють з 14-го.
The war in Ukraine hasn't been going on for just a week. There are people who have been fighting since 2014. There are people who lived in Ukraine after 2014 and knew that somewhere there was fighting, and that didn't concern everyone in Ukraine, that it concerned only a certain number of people at the front. Without a doubt, a large number of people rethought many things after the full-scale invasion in 2022. Without a doubt, there are people who still live in a different state of mind. They left during the full-scale invasion. They went abroad.
Різні люди виїхали, абсолютно. Хтось біжав від війни, хтось поїхав, тому що перші дні багато людей виїхали.
Different people left for absolutely different reasons. Some fled the war, some left because in the first days many people were leaving. Some left later. Some were exhausted, some lost their families here and no longer wanted to live with that pain. Psychologically, it was very difficult. We must understand that the war brought us grief. We cannot treat everyone in this war the same way. This war brought grief to everyone, but people who lost their loved ones, their relatives, cannot be compared to anyone else. And so, the war has brought nothing but a feeling of unbreakable pain, nothing else. That is the feeling it has left. I do not look at this as millions of people who left. I look at it as a great trial and at the fact that millions of people stayed. And it is precisely because millions of people stayed that Ukraine has remained. A large number of people are standing on the front line today. A large number of people have been wounded and killed. And so it's difficult to say. There is no positive outcome from war. The only feeling is respect for those who are in Ukraine and who preserved it. But I also understand some of the people who, for understandable reasons, are not here today.
По зрозумілим причинам, сьогодні не тут.
As I mentioned, there's a huge number of Ukrainians in the Czech Republic, and some of them are Ukrainian men avoiding the draft. What's the message for them? Do you want them to go back? Do you to enlist into the army, but you leave, or you leave the decision to them?
Тут не про те, що це їх вибір. На мій погляд,
this is not about whether it was their choice or not. In my view, what we would very much like is to help those soldiers who are on the front line, who, because there are sometimes not enough people, do not get rotation. And it would be very fair for them to have leave, to have the chance to see their families and loved ones, simply to rest, simply to return from time to time into the embrace of their family. That is extremely important. It gives you energy. And I think that those men who left could, without a doubt, help. But at the same time, this is what I see at the front.
Людина довіряє тому, хто поруч з тобою.
A person trusts the one who is next to him because he knows they are holding a certain sector together. And he knows that if one, two, or three people fail him there and run away, he may die because he will be left alone. That is why it is not only about numbers, but about people themselves, people who understand that they are one unit, that they understand what they are doing at the front and what responsibility it is. Not only responsibility for the state, but even responsibility for the person standing next to you, so that he is not left alone. And that is why people sometimes say, the one who ran away should now be taken and sent to the front. I understand these emotions. Everyone has them. But the real question is, who should decide this? Whether the guy who is already there at the front would be able to trust this person or not? So this is a question that simply cannot be answered easily, because people are different and the reasons are different.
Yeah, I understand you leave it to their decision, but do you want Czech authorities to somehow, you know, push these men back to the country, like limit the social benefits or do something just to move them back and be in the country and possibly join the army?
Я вважаю, що там є молоді люди.
I believe there are young people there who could be here and could help Ukraine, help the army. I think this is important, but our internal communication here may not reach them. So it is very important that everyone genuinely wants this. Once a European leader told me, listen, I ask you, I cannot say anything directly to your people here because my society would not support me, because society supports those who left because of the war. But at the same time, this person said, there are already very many Ukrainians here, and it is becoming difficult for us. Could you invite them back to Ukraine? And I told him that I can invite them back to Ukraine, I can do that, but how will it work if a person fled the war? And by the way, there were different cases. There were those who fled the war and then returned and began defending the state. Some evacuated their families and then returned to the front. That is why I say I relate differently to those who left, because many of them later came back. They fled on the first day, the second day, the third day, and then they returned in the second month and went to the front. So there are different cases. But without a doubt, we must understand this. The more young people we have who are physically able, of mobilization age, and who left abroad, the more of them return here, the easier it will be for our army, the easier it will be for our people, and the easier it will be for Ukraine.
Наші армії, легше нашим людям, легше Україні.
Will you join the presidential race once there will be new elections in Ukraine?
Ой, не знаю. Залежить від того, як закінчиться
це. Oh, I don't know. It depends on how this war ends.
But have you ever thought about it?
Ой, іноді думаю. Іноді думаю.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes, yes.
Last question. I know you've done, you know, thousands of interviews with many media. They ask you detailed questions. But is there any particular question nobody has asked, you know, and you see it in as important? Is there anything that nobody asks you, but you see it as important?
Я просто не хочу виглядати такою людиною, яка когось залякує. Тобто, тому що ми живемо в війні тут.
I just don't want to look like someone who is trying to scare others, because we live in a war, and from the very first day people were in shock, followed by daily tragic moments. Is Europe ready for this? Are people ready for something similar starting in their own countries? We were not ready. In 2014, in 2013, no one thought that our neighbors would occupy territory and start killing. Is Europe ready for this? What would they do? To be honest, from time to time, I ask my colleagues these questions. I have never received an answer, not once, except for things like we need to prepare and we don't know. Never a real answer. I think this is a challenge. And God forbid that something like this ever happens again. But it seems to me that the worst part is that Russia is asking the same questions, and I think it knows the answers.
Mr. President, thank you for your time and thank you for your generosity.
You've just heard an interview with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky conducted by Josef Pazderka for Czech Radio. I hope this conversation helped to shed light not only on Ukraine's position, but also on how Czechia is perceived as a country whose actions matter in a much wider European context. And let me mention, by the way, that I'm currently working on another episode of Czechcast based on my own interview with Filip Scherf, a Czech academic and analyst who works at University of St. Andrews in Scotland and has a long experience from Russia itself, which will continue this broader conversation about Czechia's role in Europe and the world. This episode is already in editing and will be coming your way soon. If you'd like to hear and explore more interviews and stories that put Czechia into an international perspective, you can find Czechcast on all major podcast platforms, and you can always check radio.cz. I'm Vít Pohanka. Stay healthy, stay safe and curious, and until next time, as we say in Czech, naslyšenou.
Czechcast, a podcast in English about all things Czech. Whether you're an English-speaking expat living in Czechia and Slovakia, or a descendant of the Czechs, Moravians and Slovaks who left for a better life in America, Australia, Britain or Canada so long ago that you don't speak the language of the old country, this podcast in English is for you.